Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 4th chapter, texts 22 and 23. Tasyai namo stu kastayai yatratma hari ishvara yad gatva na nivartante shanta sanyasino Amalaha iti te samyatatmanaha. Upatastu Rishikesham Vinidra Vayu Bhojanaha. Tasyai namostu kastayai yatratmahari ishvaraha yadgatva nanivartante shanta sanyasino malaha iti te samyatatmana. Only the first verse, okay. Tasyai namo tasyai namostu kastayai yatratmahari ishvaraha yadgatva nanivartante shantaha sanyasino malaha. Tasyai namostu kastayai yatratmahari ishvaraha yadgatva nanivartante shanta sanyasino malaha. Sanyasino malaha. Ladies. Tasyai namostu kastayai yatatma hari ishvaraha yadgatva nanivartante Santa Sanyasino Malaha. Okay. Tasyai. Unto that. Namaha. Our respectful obeisances. us to let there be. Kastayai, direction. Yatra, wherein. Atma, the super soul. Hari, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara, the Supreme Controller. Yat, which. Gatva, approaching. Na, never. Nivartante, return. Shanta, peaceful. Sannyasina, saintly. Persons in the renounced order of life. Amala, pure. Okay, there's two verses here together. Iti te samyatatmana samahita diyo malaha upatastu rishikesham vinidra vayu bojanaha. Iti, thus, te, they, samyata atmanaha, having controlled the minds. Samahita, steadied. Diya, intelligences. Amala, purified. Upatastu, worshipped. Rishikesham, the master of the senses. Vinidra, without sleeping. Vayu bhojanaha, eating only air. Okay, translation. Seventh canon, fourth chapter, 22 and 23. Let us offer respectful obeisances unto the direction where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated, where those purified souls in the renounced order of life, the great saintly persons, go, and from which, having gone, they never return. Without sleep, fully controlling their minds and living only on their breath, the predominating deities of the various planets began worshiping Rishikesha with this meditation. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The two words, tasyai, kastayai, are very significant. Everywhere, in every direction, in every heart and in every atom, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated. In His feature is Brahman and Paramatma. Then what is the purpose of saying tasyai, kastayai, in that direction where Hari is situated? During Hiranyakasipu's time, his influence was everywhere, but he could not force his influence into the places where the Supreme Personality of Godhead had his pastimes. For example, on this earth there are such places as Vrindavan and Ayodhya, which are called Dhammas. In the Dham, there is no influence of the Kali Yuga or any demon. If one takes shelter of such a Dham, worship of the Lord becomes very easy and resultant spiritual advancement quickly takes place. In fact, in India, one may still go to Vrindavan and similar places and achieve the results of spiritual activities quickly. Om Agana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayame Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Parantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Cha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desatarane Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tushe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha. All right. We have Amala in this verse many times, and we have Amala Bhakta Prabhu here. So I know I have one person that really wants to hear, so Krishna will help us to speak something worthwhile. Srimad Bhagavatam is very happy to see that class goes on here every day and gets broadcast. We don't know how many people are listening on the radio. I guess we know how many listen on the internet. But also they can tune in anytime in the archives. So that's very wonderful mercy that actually Krishna, but Maya has produced all this technology and people are using it for spreading misinformation, but the devotees are using it to spread Srimad Bhagavatam, the holy name, and this is very special mercy of Kali Yuga. People from, no matter, even on their phone, they can pick up the Bhagavatam class or the darshan, right? From anywhere in the world. It's quite amazing. So we have no idea actually how many people are meditating. Like it says here, Krishna's everywhere. Devotees, we should be aware of that. We keep hearing, and if we continue to hear these Srimad Bhagavatam, it has its effect to purify the heart. It says almost to nil, that everything is purified. Until the final stages of prema, there's still some contamination, some, you know, bewilderment, but gradually we become more and more convinced about Krishna. So the demigods are, you know, having to make great prayers here. Mentions Vrindavan and the holy Dham. Sometimes it's confusing as we see people, we go to the holy Dham, especially now, and there's a covering. That covering there is to keep ordinary people out. So many people have trouble to see, well, how can this be a transcendental place? Because so many untranscendental activities are going on. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that some people are not in the Dham, they're on the Dham. You know, they're not really there. According to the map, they're there, they look like they're there, but they're not. The Dham is not just a place, but it is a place, and it is an eternal place that exists even at the time of annihilation. The Mathura Mandala and Navadvip, Jagannath Puri, they're not annihilated. Because they're actually the spiritual world existing in apparently in the material world. But still, we go to Vrindavan, Prabhupada stressed that one should not think, now I'm in Vrindavan, so it doesn't matter. In Vrindavan, we have to be even more careful to be strictly following our spiritual practices. Otherwise, the Dham, we find people that were even born in Vrindavan, live there, and at the end of their life, when they get dying, their family takes them to Delhi for the hospital, and they die in Delhi. They don't die in Vrindavan. Other people go to Vrindavan, practically crawl in there on their last legs and die there. So, and anywhere in the world, if we're really absorbed in worshiping Krishna, like here, everyone is worshiping Krishna, it becomes also holy dham. Krishna is spreading that all over the world. We just had the Janmashtami festival, so, you know, we should be thinking of Krishna's appearance more, but should be thinking all the time. Krishna is always there. Krishna didn't take birth. He was in the womb, apparently, and in some way he was there, but then he comes out as Vishnu, fully decorated, everything, not like any ordinary baby comes out. Then he could change and look like an ordinary baby, but then do all these amazing things, starting with Putana. And, you know, one by one, we can become familiar, everybody knows. We only know about the major demons. There were many coming daily, but the major ones, Putana, Trinavarta, Agasura, Pralambasura, all those, and it's somehow, we can hear about all these things again and again and again. And it gets better and better. Bhagavad Gita, we can read again and again and again. And it gets better and better. Not an ordinary book. We can chant the holy name. People might say, well, how can, you know, they used to tell us in the hippie time, well, you can chant anything, you know, it's just self-hypnosis or something. Maybe some people still say that, you're just brainwashing yourself. But Prabhupada would say, at that time it was Nixon, he said, you can't chant that, try that, you know, all the time, or Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola. You won't get what you're chanting, and you'll become disgusted with it. But devotees chant Hare Krishna, and we can chant all day long. More and more we're finding that that's, you know, our real business. I heard here you just had, 108 hours of kirtan, or something. You know, keep it going. And in Vrindavan, it's been going on 24 hours for many, many years. Mayapur, and more temples are having at least an Ekadasi or, you know, kirtan melas. Because this is our business, to chant and make it available, make it easy for other people to hear the holy name. It's so important to hear the Hare Krishna. Our Hare Velocity was saying he was going to make some business long ago, and he told Prabhupada, I'm going to call it the Krishna, whatever it was, and Prabhupada said, no, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. They want to hear Hare Krishna. So, Hiranyakasipu's influence was everywhere, but he couldn't force it on the places of the Supreme Lord. Like, Narada Muni was cursed by Daksha that he couldn't stay anywhere more than 3 days. Of course, for Narada Muni, that wasn't a curse because he never stayed anyway, but, right? But Daksha, being an attached householder, thought that would be the worst thing, that you can't stay and just enjoy your house and your own place. But when Narada Muni, he went to Vrindavan, he wanted to see the rasa dance, and there was a whole thing about that. But then Krishna told him, you should stay here. And, right. And Narada said, but I can't stay. I have a curse. I can't stay more than 3 days anywhere. Krishna said, no, in Vrindavan, that curse is only for the material world. Doesn't apply in Vrindavan. So it is a transcendental holy place, and we should want to go there. Now we hear all this about this. This is a Purushottam month. This is a very auspicious month for, say, if you go to Vrindavan and a kirtan there is 16,000 times benefit, 160,000 something. But anywhere where we're connecting with Lord Chaitanya and performing the Harinam Sankirtan, Prabhupada, somebody in Vrindavan met a local person, a Brahmin, he's saying that, you know, you foreigners, if you follow, you know, whatever you're doing in this life, you can be born in Vrindavan in your next life or something. And Prabhupada said, tell him if he, you know, lives properly, he can be born in the Sankirtan movement. Demigods are lining up to join his Sankirtan movement, and because everything depends on the mercy of the Lord and the mercy of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada left Vrindavan. He would, you know, nobody could understand why you want to leave Vrindavan. He was 70 years old. So any, most people with the right devotional sentiments, bhakti sentiments, they want to go to Vrindavan when they get old, live out their life there. Prabhupada wanted to leave. You know, even when he was there, he was just preparing to leave. He was translating. He was, you know, planning his movement. He was even studying about America, whatever he could, and just thinking how he could get there and praying to Krishna. So at such an old age, he went. Not an easy thing. As we're getting older, we can realize. But not only old, but with no money and no contacts, no friends in America, didn't know anybody. There was no Indians, you know, community where if a sannyasi goes, he can be taken care of. There's no temples. Only the full shelter of the order of his spiritual master and shelter of Krishna. And with such an intense desire for devotee association that he made devotees, so many devotees, miraculously. So we can be protected wherever one is, you know, trying to serve Krishna. But to become fully absorbed, like, you know, I get older, at least myself, realize more and more how, when Prabhupada made that prayer, when they asked him for a more intimate, you know, pranams, Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Satarne, you know, to destroy the Mayavadi and the Shunyavadi teachings, impersonal calamity, Prabhupada wrote about his guru, impersonal calamity, thou hast moved, absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, you know, this impersonal calamity, which is just all pervasive, because it was spread by Lord Shiva, Shankaracharya, as an, on the order of Krishna. He didn't want to, but in order to help the Kali Yuga progress, he spread this Mayavadi philosophy, which took the happiness, the ecstasy out of religion, out of spiritual life, where, you know, you're trying to become nothing or become all the same or something that's never, you know, not interesting, not possible even, but realize more and more. The devotees at first, when Prabhupada talked about the Mayavadis, you know, they didn't know who he was talking about. Gradually realized that it's us. We're Mayavadi, Shunyavadi, you know, we want to not exist. We see in Kali Yuga there's so much, like, even really suicide. In Japan now they have so many subways, and in every station they built a wall with the special gates that, you know, only opens when the train is there, because so many people are jumping on the track. They spend billions of, I can't imagine how much they spend, you know, to build these really high-tech things that open up and close, and because all the drivers were quitting because they were freaking out. And the trains are delayed. There's so much suicide. It's a Shunyavadi. You know, don't want to exist. But we all have that to some extent. We always want to get away, you know. But a devotee wants to get into everything, want to be out, want to be with the people, want to, you know, see Krishna in everyone's heart. If we can see that, then we can be happy to go out and preach and present Krishna consciousness and know that Krishna is in everyone's heart. He's not, you know, like that Hirani, or, well, it was Kamsa's associates told him, I think Hiranyakasipu also, he said, you don't have to worry about Vishnu. He's hiding in everyone's heart. You know, he can't hurt you. The demigods are afraid of you, and Vishnu's hiding in everyone's heart. He's not hiding. He's in everyone's heart. He's in the heart of everything. He also has his own abode. He's also present in the deities. The Mayavadis say, Brahma is such a jagan mitya or something. You know, the Brahman is everywhere, but so you don't have to go to the temple. But Prabhupada said, well, if he's everywhere, then he's also in the temple. You know, it's not, but he's especially present in the temple. The deity form the Lord is so kindly manifested, and we see here, and it's very nice how you see he's so opulently cared for, so timely. Everything is exactly going on for so many years. There's another miracle of Prabhupada that he's, you know, established temples and all over the world where deities are being worshipped, devotees are still carrying on Bhagavatam class every day. All over the world, every temple, sometimes there's only a few people, sometimes there's thousands, but every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Prabhupada wanted it, and devotees are still doing it. And Harinam Sankirtan goes on. Extremely important activity. Sometimes we don't realize that, but the public chanting of the holy name, this is what, you know, we want to take shelter of Lord Nityananda, that's what he was doing. When Prabhupada was here at the installation of Gaur Nittai, the big ones, I don't know if it's the same murtis, but I remember that day very much. Prabhupada was very blissful that day. I mean, it was manifesting especially. And then he said, we want to join the Rasalila. We want to join, you know, in the Radha and Krishna. But in order to get the mercy of Radha and Krishna, we have to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. In order to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Then he said, to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we need the mercy of Jagai and Madai. And we have to get out and meet them and offer them, you know, like Lord Nityananda did. Please chant Hare Krishna. He said, in those days there was only two Jagai and Madai. He said, now everyone is Jagai and Madai. And he said, I'm not bragging, but all my disciples were Jagai and Madai. So now how can we get the mercy of Jagai and Madai? We go out. We asked them to chant, all the people, you know, all the crazy people. I went to Amsterdam for this. They have called the Queen's Day. It's also called Orange Day because it's from the Orange Dynasty or something. So everybody wears orange clothes, you know, orange something. So they really like to see all the brahmacharis coming. Anyway, we have Harinam all day there, and the whole city is out in the streets. It's like a gigantic flea market or just hanging around. It's just one of those days. And there's not much really happening, so they really get excited when the devotees come. And this Braj Sharan, he's from Vrindavan, the one who's campaigning for the Jamuna, he was there. And He got his camera, he was taking pictures. He said, Maharaj, this is amazing. They're all drunk, everybody's crazy, they're all chanting Hare Krishna. I gotta take pictures, I gotta show everybody, this is so amazing. Look at them all, everybody's chanting, you know, it looked like, you know, those people, they're very friendly there, and everybody starts dancing and chanting, no matter what kind of condition they're in. But that's the power of the Harinam Sankirtan. Of course, there was a few hundred devotees, that helps, but you know, even two devotees go out chanting and people join, and the effect goes a long ways. And it's just in Osaka, and there weren't too many people around. We were chanting in the shopping mall, and one guy started chanting with us, and he's not a young guy. So I asked him, where did you learn this chanting? He said, well, I got the single record, you know, 35 years ago. He had the Maha Mantra, the one recorded, you know, in Apple Studios. So he probably never met a devotee until now. But he still remembered the kirtan. That's the power of it. There's people all over the world like that, that. You know, they're still waiting for devotees to come. They've heard the holy name one way or another. Maybe they have books, but, you know, they haven't met devotees. The devotees feel in they want to get out. They want people to meet devotees. We want to have festivals like Rath Yatra, public where, you know, so many people get exposed to the holy name, to the, see the deities. It's another miracle of Prabhupada that, you know, these Rathyatras are all over the world. So many. In India, they have so many Rathyatras. In Malaysia, in December, they have like, I don't know, 20 Rathyatras. I went one time 3 days in a row. They went to a different town, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And just move the cart, have another one, another one, another one. So, you know, devotees are doing that, and all kinds of people are getting exposed, and even in China. So Krishna is everywhere. So devotees are fearless to go anywhere and present Krishna to all the people and try to wake them up. They're sleeping in the lap of Maya. But if we take full shelter of the holy dham, this is the holy dham, any place where devotees, you know, are, but especially in Vrindavan, Mayapur, Prabhupada wanted to, he made the, you know, our centers there so we could go, but he said, you know, to recharge the batteries. He's kind of like predicting, because in those days there weren't so many rechargeable batteries, but, right? But now we all know very much about recharging batteries, right? Constantly having to plug something in. Isn't that looking, you know, everywhere we go, the first thing, where's the socket, you know? Got to make my phone work, got to get the computer to work, got to get something to work. But we have to also keep our battery, our spiritual batteries, recharged. And now they make better batteries, you know, more capacity or faster recharge, smaller. But so that's why we do anything. We want to get purified. We want to, you know, be free from, you know, hopefully come, like the demigods here, they're really trying to meditate, so they're living on air, giving up everything, eating and sleeping. That would be nice. But we're all living by the mercy of Krishna no matter what. We take prasadam, or, you know, we breathe. Everything is by the causeless mercy of the Lord. And our life is by the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who presented perfectly the previous acharyas. And then we have all this information about the previous acharyas. Yesterday we heard about all this crying, and afterward we were talking, and I've been reading this in Bhakti Ratnakara and Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das, all those devotees, Ramachandra, Kaviraj. There's so many. They were crying so much. They were just constantly crying, and their clothes were soaking wet from tears. You know, how can the human body even produce so many tears? People were amazed when they saw Srinivas, how so much tears could be produced, because they weren't ordinary people. And they were just constantly feeling that separation, trying to go to meet Lord Chaitanya, but find out he left the world before they got there. And go to try to meet Nityananda and Dvaita, and find out they left before he got there. And then he was going to suicide, but they came and told him, no, go to Puri and, you know, meet the associates there. And all the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they were just like the associate, the Brij Basis. After Krishna left, they're just crying all the time. They didn't eat, they didn't do anything, and they all didn't live very long. The Gadadhar became very old very quickly. And, you know, he was Lord Chaitanya's age, but so there's only like less than 50 at the time of Lord Chaitanya's disappearance, but quickly became very, very old, left his body. And he was crying so much that his Bhagavatam was all ruined. But he had it memorized, so he could still teach Srinivas. They had to go and find another copy because his book was illegible from all the tears. And every time he read the Bhagavatam, he'd just be crying in ecstasy. It's quite far from my, or, you know, my level of never cry in ecstasy or any kind of feeling, but we should be. Bhaktisiddhanta's disciple said, what if we can't cry for Krishna? He said, then you should cry because you can't cry. You know, you should You should be crying. And where is Krishna? Why can't I surrender? Why can't I, you know, relish this chanting? Why can't I do everything for the pleasure of Krishna? I mean, it's good that we're chanting out of duty, you know, trying to finish our rounds. That's not, you know, higher consciousness. You're supposed to be crying to relish the holy name and crying and begging Krishna to give us service and, you know, totally absorbed in every syllable, every name of Krishna. But, you know, we're chanting. At least I try. And I meet many devotees, say, how you, oh, I'm trying to chant my rounds. I'm trying to chant 16 rounds. You know, that's good, but we should be trying to relish the holy name. You know, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he made that nice song, Kabhi Habi Bolo, Sadi Namar, Aparada Guchi, Shudaname Ruchi. When will the aparads be reducing, and when will I get a taste for chanting? When will that mercy be mine? You know, and he so nicely goes over so many things. And how to get the mercy of Nityananda, Kabhi Nityananda, Mori Kori Doya, you know, Diya Mora Nija, Charanara Chaya, Chari Bemore, Vishayara Maya. When you get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, then you get free from Maya. And then what can you do, right? Then Namehara Tete, Dibe Adikar. Then you get qualified to go to the marketplace of the holy name and become a distributor of the holy name. You get the power by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. He is such an important personality in our mind. You know, he was so merciful. He forgave Madai for hitting him. You know, he approached everyone. And all he did was ask. And the only charity he was asking was chant the holy name. He wasn't asking for anything else except just chant the holy name. That's what we want. Prabhupada said, if people just chant, then we're successful. If we can just people to say the holy name. So devotees are always thinking how to display the holy name, how to, you know, meet people, how to give them the holy name, let them chant the holy name. Now we find, you know, I don't know how many millions of kirtans on the internet and kirtan festivals, kirtan mela, you know, that's coming up in Germany in a few weeks. In Spain also, you know, 8 hours a day of kirtan for 4 days, 500 or 600 devotees. In Germany, when they did it last year and they were making a lot of publicity, you know, to invite devotees, and the media caught on to it and they started publicizing in the newspapers, you know, 500 Hare Krishnas are going to be coming here and just chanting Hare Krishna all day for a week. They were getting all excited about it. And the first day the television was there, you know, filming everything, and the biggest newspaper, Satchinandan Swami said, this newspaper is like New York Times or something, you know, in Germany. Anybody hears the name of this newspaper, they think it must be really good. And they came with the big interviews of everybody, you know, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And so people are interested. And the devotees get, you know, very enlivened. So more and more of these things are going on, and more and more. And then after that was a Rath Yatra in Leipzig, Germany, which isn't very big, but 700 devotees going through these walking streets, you know, with the juggernaut. The cart almost fills up the whole street, and it's mobbed with people because it's Saturday shopping day, and everybody was like, they've seen devotees before, and even Rath Yatra, maybe 100 devotees, but this is 700 devotees. And it's a very holy place, Leipzig. That's the first place in East Germany where the Prabhupada's books got into East Germany. It's another long adventure. Probably don't have time to tell about it. But Prithu Prabhu got him in there by trickery and by the mercy of Krishna, you know, to get past the East German communist, you know, guards. One time they went in and they got stopped because they had a truck full of books and they wouldn't let them through the border. So they went and they stopped to take prasad, and one dog came. So first they tried to chase away the dog, he wouldn't go, so then Preacher got an idea, and he put the dog in the van, and they went to another border gate. And, yeah, you cannot take this dog, no dogs, you can't bring this dog, you know, and they cried, no, my dog, I got to bring the dog. Finally they said, okay, we'll let the dog go, and then they let him in. They didn't look for the books, didn't see the books. Well, they saw the dog. Krishna helped him. So Krishna will always help us, that's the thing. He's helping. You know, otherwise, how could we have this movement without Lord Nityananda's mercy? How could any of us, you know, Krishnadas Kaviraj said, only Lord Nityananda could save me. He said, because he's an intoxicated madman. And he can't discriminate, you know, if you're a good person or a bad person or anything. He just gives mercy to everybody. He can't see any. He just gives the mercy. Prabhupada said that in Vrindavan one time. He said, a Vaishnava, if you see a little spark of interest, he'll fan that interest, try to make it flame up. He said, Lord Nityananda, he'll fan even if there's no spark. Said, you know, that's what we need. Get the mercy of Gaur Nitai, Lord Balaram, most merciful, you know, original spiritual master. Connect with the parampara and hang in there, you know, get hold of the beads, chant the holy name, but get out and chant. Get out in the streets, you know, get out, distribute. We have devotees here, great transcendental heroes, Brigapati, Prem Sankirtan, Sachitanoi. You know, just going out, distributing books for so long and always in ecstasy. And we don't know, you know, sometimes we wonder what's happening, but something's happening because it's pleasing to Prabhupada, pleasing to the parampara. And the people get books, they get some benefit. Some people read it, some people don't. But there's unlimited benefit for everyone who hears the holy name or even sees a devotee, even sees Tilak. You know, if you even just put on Tilak and people see it, they get liberated just from that. You know, they get so much. So many merciful things are arranged for us. And we can go to Mayapur, we can go to Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri. But we can bring those things here also. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, he just went everywhere. But he left the world for the rest of us. He went all over Bengal. But Chaitanya went all over India, but Prabhupada went all over the world. And now devotees are going even more places because there's devotees everywhere now. I don't know if there's any countries without devotees. But still, the majority of people never heard of Krishna. And they need to get purified. They need to find devotees. They're suffering so much. So by the mercy of Prabhupada, we still have our temples and going on. Here is quite amazing, New Dwarka, from when I first came, but still going on and getting better all the time. So many people getting prasadam, so many people getting books, so many people. One time I was here, I brought my friends from Israel, they're Kabbalah rabbis, and I brought them to the museum. And they really liked it, you know. And the last exhibition with the Rasa dance, you know, I was thinking maybe this is a little too much, you know. And they came out and the wife was saying, when is this open? I want to bring my family. I want to bring everybody here. This is amazing. This is so great. We should have something like this, you know. Because it's the real spiritual world. People have some idea, but they don't know. They don't have any idea of it. Bhagavatam is giving us a real description what is the spiritual world. And then we have the history of all these great devotees and help us to keep in a, you know, hopefully understand we're not great devotees because we can see the real great devotees. And if we can't, we can definitely see Prabhupada and how much, you know, far we have to go. But if we just stick with him, he'll take us back to Godhead. That's his promise. I can't see the clock, but it's time to stop, right? Is that right? My battery's dead. Yeah, what, 20 after 25? Any question? Comments? Yes, sir. You enjoyed chanting Hare Krishna? Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Bhrigu?
You're welcome.
Thank you, Marge. A lot of interesting points there. Yesterday I was at UCLA and I was, at one point I just stopped and I was at a point like in the up part of the campus and I just looked out at this campus and I thought, wow, this place is impressive. You know, these buildings are impressive. It's all landscaped. It's beautifully set up and everything. And I was just thinking to myself, man, it took a lot of talent and ability and resources to get this all together.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, but wait a second, so the people who had that talent, ability, and resources, they got that all from Krishna, because that's where it's coming from. Any intelligence anybody has, they're getting it from Krishna. The resources are coming from Krishna, et cetera, et cetera. So I was thinking, well, why is Krishna, okay, it's nice. It's nice that he's so generous and he's giving these non-devotees so much intelligence and talent, abilities, resources to do their thing. But we're the devotees. We're the good guys. So how come he doesn't even give us, and we're supposed to get them to become devotees so we can, you know, they can go back to Godhead. Why doesn't he give the devotees even more talent, intelligence, and resources and abilities to, you know, it's kind of like sometimes like in a, you know, game, okay, it's like, the, you know, Maya, 100 points, and the devotees, 10 points or something. Why don't, what, it's all coming from Krishna. Why doesn't he give the devotees more even?
More, yeah, I don't know.
More intelligence, more ability, more resources to, you know, just completely... Why is it? Why are the, you know, the non-devotees getting what seems to be more? Because they're in, you know, they're kind of like more in control here. I mean,
yeah, they're worshiping Maya, and then they get, you know, they get Maya Dhanava builds her things, right? Like Ravana, he had, you know, such an incredible place. Of course, that was actually built by Vishwakarma, built for, what's his name, treasure of the demigods, but, you know, golden buildings made out of gold, not just, you know, gold leaf or something, but golden blocks. And so somehow or other with Krishna, you know, that the Goloka Vrindavan is, you know, that like the gopis, when they saw Krishna as a big king, you know, they didn't like that. They wanted to see Krishna in the forest, a simple life, you know, right? So he's giving the devotees much more intelligence. And, of course, we are building some really nice temples and things. We can't really compete with their airports and shopping malls and different things that they build. Can't compete on that level. But he's giving us the intelligence to not be attached to all those things. You know, they're attached. They think they can enjoy those things. They think that's all there is to it. So it's an interesting question. Parikshit asked Sukadev something like that, right? Why the devotees of Lord Shiva are rich and the devotees of Krishna are not. But some devotees of Krishna are rich also. And some devotees of Shiva are not. But generally, because most of the people that worship Lord Shiva want material opulence, and that's what they pray for. The devotees are trying to give it all up, you know, and not be too attached, but still, he's giving us so much that we have all these books, we have, you know, so many things are going on, and actually so many devotees are utilizing so many things, but to spread Krishna consciousness, not to make people comfortable in the material world. We want basic comforts, but we don't want so much luxury and wonderful things. It is bewildering how great they make things. You know, especially airports. Now everywhere I go, there's a new airport, you know. Even though there's supposed to be economic disaster, everywhere is unbelievable airports, you know. And I was just in Japan, which is supposed to be, you know, their airport, and the only shops was like Tiffany's and things like that, you know, and not even an ordinary, you know, anything. couple little tiny, you know, magazine place, but Tiffany's, everything in the most high expensive designer stuff. And, you know, people are totally in illusion, thinking that this is the goal of life. So we have to be convinced that it's not, and live without it, and give people what's really valuable, the holy name. We've seen attempts, you know, to get really rich first, and then we can preach and do all kinds of wonderful things. It hasn't worked so far. You know, we preach first, and then whatever Krishna gives us. Prabhupada didn't have anything, but he preached, and, you know, he wanted things, and Krishna gave him, you know, so many nice temples and so many things. But we want the real shelter. It's not the buildings, not the structure, not... It's in the consciousness, and, you know, that people can come and really get sheltered by devotees who really care about them and really see them as spirit souls and want them to take shelter of Krishna. Is that all right? Yeah. Yes, it's Sachi Tanoi.
Thank you, Maharaj. It's just a comment that... It's always pleasurable to hear a devotee speaking about the holy name and the mood of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. It gives a lot of pleasure to the heart. I just want to say that you are an inspiration for the yatra, because everywhere I see you, I remember one time I was distributing books in London, and there was only 3 devotees in Harinam Sankirtan, and you were one of them. And whenever I go to the Mayapur Parikram, you're always there walking around with the people. And yesterday I heard you went in Harinam too. Everywhere I see you. So I'm saying this because in Prabhupada's talk, there was one younger devotee who was asking the question. And he was mentioning at the point that he was bewildered. How come he doesn't see senior devotees going out, and how come just younger devotees? And obviously he hasn't been around so much, but you're one of those personalities who likes to be with people. And thank you. I'm a younger devotee. Whenever I see you around, being with the people, and it's an inspiration.
That's can't do anything else. That's... thank you, but we try. I like Harinam. I like to see people reacting to the holy name, and I like to see the devotees distributing books. And this Harinam was quite interesting because we had a lot of old guys out there, Mrigendra, and I was really surprised. And Garuda and a lot of young devotees also, which is also really, sometimes it's only the old ones, but there are many, many devotees all over the world that are, you know, Prabhupada disciples that are going, doing something, going on Harinam, preaching, traveling, and that's what Prabhupada did. So that's our life, and that's for everybody. We want to connect with Lord Nityananda. Just go and do what he's doing. Get out. Distributing books, distributing the holy name. Of course, we have to do it worshiping the deities, but somehow or other be busy. Remember Krishna, probably, no matter what we're doing. But so thank you. And you're an inspiration. You're always distributing books. Right? So that's special mercy. Everything is the mercy of Krishna, but if we can stay somehow in the association of devotees and be very fortunate that there's devotees. Like in London, that one devotee, sometimes he goes by himself, but he goes every day, 3 times a day, and sometimes he gets, you know, 10, 20 devotees with him, sometimes one, stragglers, sometimes by himself, but